We're going to talk about the far side of fear, obsessive compulsive disorder. How many of you have ever counseled anybody that you would say was OCD? Several of you. On the scale of OCD, we have regular OCD, which would be people like you have seen in the television show Monk. How many of you have seen that? I haven't seen it. I know what he is, and so I know about that. And a couple of movies have come out recently in the past few years about people with OCD. As Good as It Gets. I would not really recommend any of these movies. I'm sure they're rated R. But they would be movies that would at least, I think, portray OCD fairly honestly. And actually, some of them are quite interesting in that the way that the people who are suffering from OCD get better is by focusing on someone else besides themselves, which is interesting. And also in another one of the movies, the way that the guy gets better, he thinks he's taking his meds when in actuality what he's taking is just an antihistamine. And he gets better. So it's just interesting, I think, how the media is keen in on this. I think because the media is keen in on obsessive compulsive disorder people, you're going to see a lot more of it. I'm pretty well convinced that OCD is becoming the disorder du jour. And along with eating disorders, this is really what you're going to see a lot of. I think a lot of young people are developing these things. And, you know, if they can develop something that makes them unique and original and sort of gives themselves over to this thing that they've heard about and seen about, you know, then they're going to be developing it. So anyway, the couple of movies, As Good as It Gets, with, what's his name? Thank you. Jack Nicholson. And he was, you know, he would check his door how many times, and he couldn't step on a crack when he was walking, and he would count steps, and he would do all of that sort of business. Another really interesting one was Matchstick Men with Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage was the OCD sufferer in Matchstick Men. And he was the one that got better by taking what he thought was his psychotropic meds, which turned out only to be antihistamines, and also got better when he was in a relationship with someone else that he was caring about, something, doing something that other than thinking about himself, and also got better when he stopped living the wicked lifestyle he was living. And then, of course, I think the real famous movie that came out in the last year or so is The Aviator, which is the movie of Howard Hughes. And really, I think, very vividly portrayed Hughes' OCD. The way he had to, one scene in that movie I thought was just so poignant was he goes into the restroom and he washes his hands, but then he can't get out of the restroom because he's washes his hands so that he's sure his hands are clean, but if he touches the doorknob, his hand will be infected with germs again. And so he can't get out of the bathroom. And he has to wait until somebody comes into the bathroom for him to be able to get out so that he doesn't touch anything. So, and of course, you know the life of Howard Hughes. If you're really interested in this, there's a couple of things that would be good for you to read. One would be any kind of story, life story of Howard Hughes, because he's probably the most famous OCD person we have around. And ended up a person basically, I guess in some ways, living in a bubble and not able to breathe any kind of air except it had been purified first. And he was a person who, of course, even when he was going out into the public, would not ever eat any kind of food that or drink anything that he didn't bring with him, that he wasn't sure was absolutely what it was supposed to be. And, you know, it's very interesting, though, because then you've got this fellow who seems to be so very fearful and afraid. On the other hand, being an immense risk taker. That's interesting, isn't it? And seems like when he was in the middle of his risk-taking behaviors, his OCD got better because he was concentrating more on that risk. So loving the feeling of the risk-taking, loving that, and you see that too in that Matchstick Men movie. So loving that feeling and letting that sort of draw you away from the obsessions and compulsions that follow the obsessions. those are very, I think, good examples of what OCD is like. And again, I think you're going to see more and more of it. A lot of kids are getting involved in it. And doing things like picking themselves and injuring themselves and pulling their hair and stuff like that, all of that sort of goes along with this OCD sort of stuff. I have been involved in counseling a young woman, and I'll call her Gail and try to flatten out some of her information in case this tape goes anywhere. I wouldn't say that Gail is full-on OCD at this point. I would call her more OCPD, which means, you know, obsessional compulsive personality disorder. She's not quite there yet. She's sort of borderline. She's got this personality disorder. This gal is 17. She's a senior in high school, very good-looking young woman. She's an athlete. But she has some problems. The first problem is she doesn't do very well in school because she reads and rereads assignments so many times that she gets confused. So she'll read a paragraph in a book that she has to study, and then she'll second-guess what it means, and she'll not be sure. So she'll read it again, and she'll count the lines, and she'll try to figure out, have I really understood this? Have I really understood it? Have I really understood it? And then, of course, she doesn't understand it. Because that's what happens when you get into that kind of cyclical sort of self-doubt and thinking. So she can't formulate an answer to a question because she's afraid she'll say the wrong thing. So I will ask her, I'll read her a verse, and I'll say, tell me what I just read you. She can't. She'll sit there for 5 minutes, and she'll start, and I'll be able to tell by the first few words that she says that she's on the right path. She'll start, but then she'll stop. She'll say, I don't know. I don't know. She can't think clearly because she continually second guesses herself and is so filled with fear that she's going to say the wrong thing, even though in our counseling together, I've really tried to encourage her that it's perfectly okay for her to say the wrong thing. But in her mind, it's not okay for her to say the wrong thing. The main problem that brought her to me was not her grades, however. It was the exorbitant amount of time she spends getting ready every morning. Now, every teenager in the world spends an exorbitant amount of time getting ready in the morning, but this young woman was frequently late to school and sometimes missed school altogether because she was spending so much time getting ready in the morning. And basically what that looks like for her is every morning she has to wash her hair, and her hair is kind of long, and we've gotten her to start washing it at night now, which is better, but she still wets it in the morning, which sets up the whole thing again. And when she's washing her hair, she keeps washing it and pulling on it and making sure that there aren't any little hairs that have fallen out. So she pulls on her hair and she keeps pulling on it, trying to be sure that there aren't any hairs that have fallen out, because she won't leave the shower if there's a hair that will fall out of her head. Okay, this, I you know, you watch Monk and you think, okay, this is funny. This is not funny. All right, this, and she does this over and over and over again for 45 minutes, staring at the end of her hair. You know, of course, she's got to shave her legs 12 times. She's, you know, putting on her makeup. It's just, for her, it's bondage. It's incredible, incredible slavery. So her parents have tried to help her. They've given her a timer, said, okay, when the timer goes off, you've got to get out of the shower. Given her enough time, and the timer goes off, you've got to get out of the shower. That wasn't working because she would just change the timer, and so then they've had to change the locks on the shower, and the mom has to go in and physically drag her out of the shower. And you know what that sets up in the morning when everybody's trying to get ready and get off to school in the morning. And they've taken to turning off the water to the house. You know, you get 20 minutes and then the water of the house goes off. It didn't matter to her. She would stay in there and mess with her hair. She exercises about an hour and a half every day. She's on the track team. She runs 50 miles or so a week. She had a stress fracture last year in her leg because she was putting so much stress on her body. She's, I think, close to sliding into an eating disorder because she continues to talk about how fat she thinks she is. She's not fat at all.